Oh man, my name's Kurt. It's great to have you with us this weekend. You guys having fun so far? Yeah, man, I tell you what, it's been a lot of fun. I think we're gonna have a lot of fun today. Those of you tuning online, man, so good to have you join us from wherever you're joining us from. Very cool to have you with us in this time. And you know, I know what the ladies are thinking in the room. The ladies are like, finally, a relationship series, right? And the guys are going, man, I was just starting to like this church. You know, and so ladies, just a couple things as we get started. This might be a bit stereotypical, but you know, men, when we think of relationships, it's kind of like most of you think about a car, like we don't want to work on it, we just want it to work, right? And so like when you say, hey, I'm so glad we're doing this series and you know, we're gonna be able to go home and talk about all the things that we learned together, like for us guys, we're just like, what we hear is, all right, there's something wrong with us, right? All right, we're gonna have to go to church and get fixed. And so, you know, it kind of reminds me of every fall when I bring my snowmobiles home. I have some snowmobiles, I store them away, I bring them home, you know, around, you know, as winter comes around. And guys, if you have boats or, you know, RVs or riding mowers, whatever it is, I mean, you probably do some of the same things. And so, ladies, as guys, when I bring those home, I just kind of spend time out there, you know, with my head under the hood, firing it up, getting my hands dirty, smelling like gas. And Julie, you know, she'll like come out and she'll be like, hey, is there a problem with the snowmobiles? I'm like, no, I mean, I'm just checking. She's like, well, gosh, we're spending an awful lot of time checking if there's nothing wrong with them. And of course, that's the connection right there, right? Because for guys, that's kind of how we feel about relationships. It's kind of like, man, if the relationship's not broke down and sitting on the side of the road, not going anywhere, then we're fine, right? We don't have to do anything. Well, actually, yes, we do. It's really good for us to actually evaluate where we are and how we get to better places. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about how do we pursue a love that lasts. And if you're somebody who is in a relationship, maybe you're single and you're looking to move toward marriage, as we hope this helps you. If you're engaged, you know, hopefully this helps as you move into marriage. If you're a newlywed or you've been married for a while, I think this will maybe help, you know, clarify and help us grow to new places. If you're single or single again, and especially for those of you who are students, if you're a high school student or a college student, I just think you're in the best place because you can take all of this and you can actually go forward without a lot of baggage as you look ahead to these great seasons in your life. So today's week one, and today's kind of an introduction. And so I'm going to kind of set the table for where we're going to go over the next 4 weeks and kind of create the tension. All right. And so there's not going to be a lot of Bible verses today. I'm just going to give you a heads up. And if you're somebody who doesn't like the Bible, you're probably like, great, love it, looking forward to it. If you're somebody who does, you're probably like, do they ever read the Bible around here? just wait. Come back next week. Next week, we're going to look at perhaps the most fantastic relationship statement ever said, ever given to us. And it just happens to come out of this book that we call the Bible, the New Testament part of the Bible. So today, I'm going to highlight the tension of how do we move beyond just, you know, falling in love, but actually getting to those places where we find a love that lasts. And so when we come into relationships, we, you know, all of us have a box. We all have a box, an invisible box, if you will, of hopes, dreams, and desires. And if you're single and you're not dating anyone, you probably have a pretty undefined box. If you are dating someone or if you're engaged, you've probably talked about some of the things that are your hopes, your dreams, and your desires. And if you're married, you should definitely know what's in this box. And perhaps the problem, if you're experiencing problems, is you don't know what's in this box or in the box of your partner. And so as we think about the future, I mean, we all have hopes and dreams and desires, right? And so we have hopes and dreams and desires about things, for instance, like money, right? I mean, do we want a lot of money? Are we going to be okay with just a little? You know, because all we need is love, right? I mean, who needs money? I mean, are we going to be a dual income family? Are we going to be a single income family? I mean, she going to be a stay-at-home mom, him a stay-at-home dad? Maybe we're going to have enough money. Both of us are going to be stay-at-home. But you're going to have hopes, dreams, and desires when it comes to money. And then, of course, you know, there's chores. You know, you're going to have hopes and dreams and desires about how the chores are going to get done. And perhaps for most of us, this kind of comes from our family of origin and gets set there. And then, of course, you know, you're going to have to live someplace. And so what kind of house are we going to have? And is it going to be rented? Is it going to be leased? Is it going to be, you know, a purchase? And so you're going to have to figure that out. And then, you know, it's like he's got his car, a sports car, and I'm really trying to talk him out of it, trying to help him see that maybe there'd be something a little more reasonable. And so, you know, you got hopes and dreams and aspirations when it comes to, you know, what you drive. And then, of course, you know, there's kids, right? And so you've got kids, and of course, if you, you know, have two girls first, you're like, well, we got to keep going until we have a son, you know? And then it's like, well, we might as well just have a basketball team at that point, right? And so, like, we have hopes and dreams and desires, you know, about that part of our life. And then, you know, after that, I mean, we get to things like our time. You know, we all have a limited amount of time. And so, you know, it's like, how are we going to use our discretionary time? And how much time is he going to spend with his friends? And how much time is she going to spend? And how are we going to use our time? And so, you know, you got to figure that out. And then there's, you know, more of the calendaring of our time, not just in the days, but like the weeks and the months and the years. And of course, this gets into holidays and like, how are we going to spend the holidays? And I know for Julie and I, this is a big tension. I mean, we, you know, and she kind of made this easy for me. She just came and said, hey, let's just do it this way. How about I do three holidays with my family? You can have the rest. I'm like, great. She's like, I'll do Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. And you can do Columbus Day, Groundhog's Day, Memorial Day, which was awesome. Love Memorial Day. But you got to figure that out, right? You got to figure that out. Actually, that's not what she said. We actually blew the whole thing up, and I don't think either side of our family was happy with it, but it worked for us. And so you got to figure out what that looks like. And then, you know, after that, there's travel. You know, I mean, are we going to, you know, circle the globe? Or no, you know, we might just, there's enough to see in the United States alone, or perhaps you just want to travel the world at Epcot. You know, you got to decide, like, what are we going to, how are we going to travel? What's our hopes, dreams, and desires when it comes to travel? And then, of course, there is, you know, what every guy hopes his wife never wears. And of course, you know, ladies are probably like, well, he doesn't care what I wear. I mean, he accepts me as I am, right? I mean, he just wants me to be comfortable. And so there's hopes and dreams and desires as it, you know, comes to that as well. And then, of course, there's, you know, conflict resolution. Right? I mean, everybody's got to figure out conflict resolution because there's going to be conflict. And for some, the expectation is, hey, we're going to talk it all out. We're going to get it all out. We're going to talk. We're going to tell every detail of every situation. And, you know, somebody else might go, no, I mean, that's not a good idea. I don't know that we need to share everything. I mean, some things, you know, yes, but let's just be honest about the things we do share. And then somebody else might go, well, we just yelled it out in our family. We yelled all the time, and we got it out so we could move on. And then, you know, of course, you know, somebody else might say, well, like, that just seems so insensitive. We never yelled. We keep our voices down. And the guys are like, I thought that was what sex was for, like makeup sex, right? And so, I mean, you got to figure out, you know, the conflict part of this. And then there's a kind of a bigger one, and I don't even have a visual for this one. All right, this one, I don't even know how to capture this one and illustrate it, but it's like, how are we going to treat each other? Because we all have, you know, hopes, dreams, and desires in terms of how we're going to be treated by our fiance or our significant other or eventually our spouse. And, you know, and let me just say, I mean, maybe you haven't thought of this one, but you probably have some pretty clear expectations, meaning, you know, you've probably thought about, okay, if he loves me, then he will never, ever, how would you fill in the blank? Or she loves me, she will never, ever. So we have some expectations there. So there's a number of factors that influence what we put in our invisible box. We all have this, right? For some of us, it's what we've seen and heard. Maybe we've seen this modeled in certain families, or we've read about it, or we've observed it in, you know, people who've mentored us. Maybe our neighbors, like, it works really well, and so we've taken that. For others of us, and a lot of us, it actually comes from what we've experienced. And this is where we get back to our family of origin. And this is such a big deal, and so many times it gets complicated and it gets so emotional because most of us, we have hopes, dreams, and desires that have come out of what we grew up in and what we grew up with. And for some of us, we're trying to avoid something. We're like, you know, I hope we never become like my parents. I hope I never become like my mom. I hope I never become like my dad. Sometimes, ladies, you come to us as husbands, and you're like, will you tell me if I ever become like my mother? And I'm like, no, because I don't want to sleep on the porch. All right, I like sleeping inside. I just don't think that's my role to let you know when you become like your mom. And so, you know, like, and then others of us are like trying to maybe repeat something. We maybe saw something that we really liked. Like, oh my gosh, that's what I want right there. I want our life, our relationship, our marriage to look just like that. Maybe it was a parent or an older sibling or friends or, you know. And so even in the situations where we're trying to recreate something really good and really healthy, in the middle of all this is me. It's my hopes, and it's my dreams, and it's my desires. And somewhere in the relationship, all right, we don't even know when this fully happens, man. And this is why it's helpful to have some visuals to think about. But somewhere in the midst of the relationship, maybe it's, you know, when we get engaged. Perhaps it's when we're standing at the altar. Maybe even, you know, in our first year of marriage or 5 years in. But at some point in our relationship, we take our box of hopes and dreams and desires, and we say to our partner, "Here you go. I need you to go make this happen for me. I mean, this is what I've always dreamed my life to be like." And you're like, "This is why I said yes. This is why I said yes when I dated you. This is why I said yes when we're standing at the altar." I mean, I have a very clear picture of the things, the hopes, the dreams, the desires that I want to come about. This is what I want the future to look like. I need you to help me make that happen. And see, the problem and really the tension comes when someone hands their box of hopes and dreams and desires to us, and when we receive it, it doesn't always feel like hopes and dreams and desires. It actually feels to them more like expectations. And all of a sudden, it feels like I've got this enormous weight that I've got to carry, and it's like I've got this homework that I've got to do, and all this responsibility, because like, what are expectations anyway? Well, expectations are simply a strong belief that something will happen, right? I mean, we're not living in our dream house yet, but we're getting there, right, honey? I mean, eventually we're going to be there, and we are moving toward it, right? I know we only have one kid now, but we have a dream of four, right? We're still planning on that, right? I mean, we have these hopes and dreams and expectations and the strong belief that something's going to come about. And again, the problem, and you know this, I mean, I'm just putting words to things we probably already know, but anytime we try to recreate something we've seen or try to avoid something we've seen, when it comes to our hopes and our dreams and our desires, it turns them into expectations. And even in the best of relationships, even when the best fall down sometime, and even though wrong words seem to rhyme, out of doubt, I don't even know how the doubt fills my mind, I somehow find that you and I, we collide. See what I did right there? Wasn't that a great song by the band earlier tonight? Man, oh yeah, great, great song, great song. We collide, right? We collide, you and I, we have these hopes, dreams, and we collide, we swap boxes. I'm gonna give you mine, you're gonna give me yours, and all of a sudden what was intangible and wispy and dreamy, and oh my gosh, it's so fun and romantic, and we have no worries in the world, all of a sudden it turns into a bunch of homework and expectation and pressure. And so, when this happens, when the eyes collide, there's really five things that we do, and we're gonna look at four of them today. And so, four things we do when our eyes collide. Number one is we leave. All right, we see it and we go, okay, this isn't what I had in mind. This was not the plan. You didn't tell me about this, right? You shifted lanes. I mean, we were going here and then all of a sudden we're right here. I mean, I just don't know that I can even carry this expectation. All right, I don't think I'm ever going to live up to this. I didn't sign up for this. I'm out. And when you leave, you know what you do? You actually take your invisible box of hopes and dreams and desires that have turned into expectations, and you carry that with you to the next relationship. And then the second thing we do if we don't leave is we win. All I do is win, no matter what. So, we want to win no matter what, right? We're like, hey, I want my way. And let's be honest, in every relationship, typically, not always the case, but typically there's one personality that's a little stronger than the other. And we want to win. Usually that person powers up. And when we do that, the four C's kind of come about, the four C's of an unsatisfying and kind of dysfunctional relationship. You know what those are, right? You don't know what those are? All right, well, I'll show them to you. They're these right here: convince, convict, control, and coerce. All right, and so, you know, we begin to say, okay, I know, honey, this is what you want, and this is your dreams, but I'm gonna tell you, that's not how the world turns. All right, my way is the way, this is how we're gonna do it. And so you need to just, you know, get rid of your things and do it my way, because aren't we always so much happier when our lives have to revolve around everybody else's dreams and hopes and expectations? I mean, it's always so much better, right? Honey, just abandon your dreams and desires and just, you know, just get on board with mine. And then we convict, we guilt, right? I mean, I don't want to be critical, I don't want to judge, but I mean, that's just dumb. I mean, your way is dumb. I don't know where you got that, probably from your parents. All right, that's dumb, all right? And so we guilt, and then we control and we coerce. And at the end of the day, you know, the winner's happy, right? The winner's like, oh man, I got exactly what I wanted. I'm not sure why he or she's like, so I don't know what's wrong with them. They just don't seem to be quite into it the way that I am. All right, but the winner's happy because like now two of you are all about your hopes and dreams and desires. And so this brings us to the third response. The third one, if we don't leave and we don't win, we conform. We become conformists. All right? And you abandon who you are in order to make the other person happy, even though it doesn't work for you. And conforming works for a while, right? Because it like lowers the temperature in the relationship, lowers the temperature in the room. I mean, you've heard before, happy wife is a happy life. Yeah, you've heard that too. You know, as long as she's happy, as long as he's happy, I mean, it doesn't really matter what I want. As long as we keep him happy, you know, it's not my dream. I mean, but I'll deal with it. And at the end of the day, what happens is you lose respect for your partner. And your partner loses respect for you. And then the fourth response when our eyes collide is we compromise. And a lot of people think this is the goal. A lot of people think this is actually the win right here. This is how to stay married. This is how, you know, we just compromise. And you maybe saw this in your parents. I mean, they weren't like unhappy, but they definitely were happy. They're like, yeah, I mean, it's not my thing, but I mean, it's hers or his. And we just made it work. Just like in couples retreat, right? I mean, yeah, we're making it work. And so the compromise marriage, you know, I do my part, you do your part, you keep score a lot, all right, I'm gonna pay attention to the things you do as long as you keep your end up, then I'm gonna do my end, all right, it's a bit contractual. Yeah, I mean, we're gonna see your family, you know, this Christmas, but next year we're definitely seeing mine, and even though your dad's always sick, I mean, we're not gonna change our plans because we've already decided we're going to my family. We've decided. And let me just point out that for those of you who are dating or have dated in front of you or are engaged, even those of us that are married, the compromised relationship produces low trust. And it just keeps getting lower and lower. And low trust leads to low intimacy. And here's why. Because you cannot be intimate with someone whom you can't give yourself fully to. Or a different way to say it would be, you will never fully give yourself to someone that you don't fully trust. And so this is why if you're single and you want to know the keys to like a great sex life, it really lies in nothing to do with sex. It has everything to do with intimacy. Because intimacy, at the core of intimacy, is actually trust. Now, without intimacy, without that deep intimacy, I mean, it doesn't mean you can't make it to the end. You can't stay married for your whole life. I mean, I see this all the time. You see this all the time. You know people in your life who, you know, they're like, I'm committed to marriage. I mean, it's rough. I don't even enjoy him. I don't like him, but we are committed to the institution of marriage. By golly, we're gonna make it happen, right? And you just stand there and you go, wow, all right. Or in the words of Billy Crystal.
It's a way.
It's a way. That's a way. But there's a better way. There's a better way. There's a better way beyond just leaving, beyond just saying, okay, I'm gonna win, beyond saying, okay, I'm gonna conform or I'm gonna compromise. Because when we do these things, the we actually loses. Now, as I said earlier, there's a fifth option, all right? And when we pursue this fifth option, this is where we discover a love that lasts. And I know this can be a bit frustrating to you, but we are going to dig fully into this next week, all right? So you're going to have to come back next week. It's so powerful, so amazing. And we're going to spend our entire time on the fifth option. And so I just encourage you to plan your visit right now. I mean, whether you're going to be here Thursday, whether you're going to be here Sunday for either in-person service or tuning in online or watching on demand, wherever you're going to check in, just make sure you plan to be with us. Decide right now. It's one of your next steps. Say, hey, I'm going to be there because I want to find out what this fifth option is that really cultivates a love that lasts. Now, for the last few minutes, I want to frame the problem with where we're going to be heading over these next few weeks so we can kind of get a handle on where we're going to be going. Because I would guess there's nothing I've said so far that is like earth-shattering or something you didn't know. Perhaps there's something you're like, oh my gosh, this is us. I connect with that. That's what our life looks like. But here's what I want us to see. Expectations, right? And this is true in every relationship. Expectations create a debtor relationship. All right, and so in that moment when I take my hopes and my dreams and my desires and I hand those to you, all of a sudden you owe me, and that becomes a debtor relationship. All right, you owe me to enjoy the way I like to manage money. You owe me to navigate conflict the way I expect that to be manned. You owe me to produce the right number of kids. You owe me to, you know, be patient with me. I mean, I want you to provide. You owe me to stay fit and look the way that I want. See, this debtor relationship, I just don't think this is at all what God had intended when he put the first man and the first woman together. So I want to give you a question to think about this. And this is a question you can think about between now and the next time when we're together. And here's the question. How much gratitude do you express to people who simply pay you what they owe you? Think about that. How much gratitude do you express to people who just basically do what is expected? All right, they do the bare minimum. And the answer to that is minimal, right? You don't express a lot of gratitude to people who do the bare minimum. And see, here's the tricky part. Here's the tricky part of being married and with the same person for many, many, many years. See, every relationship, every marriage, you develop routines. And routines are good. In fact, routines give us structure in our lives. Nothing wrong with routines, but we also then develop roles. And I'm not talking like, well, it's the man's role to do this and the woman's role. I'm not talking that at all. In your relationship, you've formed what your roles are. You've said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what you're going to do. Here's how we've made this work. This is how relationships work. It looks different in your life than it does in mine, but we have roles. But when I expect Julie to do what she's always done, the gratitude's going to be minimal, right? I mean, which communicates that I actually have an invisible box of expectations. I'm not going to thank her necessarily when she does it. In fact, when she doesn't do it, I'm going to be like, hey, what's up with that? You didn't do what you always do. And so, you know, we become accustomed to it and we then don't have any gratitude. Because see, here's gratitude. And this is something you can start this week. Gratitude is when I go, wow, I didn't expect that. Wow, I didn't expect that. What do you mean you didn't expect it? I make your lunch every single morning for you before you walk out the door. Well, I know right before I go out, you hand me my lunch and I'm surprised by it every single morning because I didn't expect it. What do you mean you didn't expect it? I mean, I've been doing this for like 6 years for you. I know, but every single morning when I come downstairs, even though you've done this for me every single day for the last 6 years, I don't expect it. And so I just want you to know, wow, thank you for providing my lunch for me today. Thank you. I'm grateful for that. I didn't expect that. Let me tell you something. This is something that supercharges intimacy in a relationship. This is how you fuel a love that lasts. It's an indication that your box, your invisible box, is not filled up. The other thing a debt-debtor relationship does, and you don't even know this is happening, but you wake up one day and you go, oh my gosh, how do we get here? What happened to us? Because see, a debt-debtor relationship eliminates, this is so interesting, eliminates the possibility of unconditional love. Because if you owe me, you can't really truly unconditionally love me. Because if I owe you flowers, I mean, if Julie's like, hey, you owe me flowers on Valentine's Day. And I'm like, oh, don't worry, I got flowers. Here you go, Julie. Honey, I got you flowers. Here you go. And she's like, oh, good, okay. All right, we can move on then, right? We got back to zero. The ledger's clean, right? You fulfilled the expectation. Or if I'm like, all right, it's my birthday. Where's the cards on my birthday? Where's the gifts? And she's like, oh, we got the cards. We got the gifts. Here you go. Here's everything you're expecting. All right, great. We can move on. All right, you fulfilled it. See, when I owe you, I mean, it even feels weird, right? Because when it's expected, you're like, it's not even going to feel like love because it's like expected. See, love doesn't do well in an environment of expectation. In fact, expectations actually remove the margin necessary for love to be recognized and appreciated. Think about that for a moment. You can't even see it coming because it's expected. That's what she always does. That's what I expect him to do. That's what women are supposed to do. That's what men are supposed to do. You can't even see it coming because your expectations have taken over. Expectations is like meeting the minimum requirement. It eliminates, this is such a powerful idea, it eliminates the potential for love to be recognized and appreciated. This is why when we have a box full of expectation, it undermines intimacy because it feels like pressure every single day of the week. But see, here's the good news. Here's the good news. You don't have to live this way. Now you don't have to live this way. And you know why? Because I know happy couples. I know couples that have had a long love that continues to go on. And you can have this same kind of love too. And we're going to tell you how to do it next week. So you're going to have to come back next week. All right? And so, like, what do we do with all this stuff in the box? I mean, am I just supposed to go, okay, well, I mean, I wanted four kids, and yet she doesn't want any, and I mean, am I just supposed to be okay with that and just, like, not be bothered by that? Or, I mean, you know, what's the deal? I mean, I guess we could sleep outdoors. We don't have to have a house. I mean, like, what happened? What about all this stuff? All right, well, we're going to go deeper into that over the next few weeks as well. But the short answer to what I do with all my hopes, dreams, and desires is, short answer is, you keep it in the box. All right, keep it in the box, Chris. You're going, okay, well, how do I do that? If these are all the things I hope, I dream, I've always hoped to have, you know, take place, you know, come out in my relationships, how do I do that? How do I keep those from being projected to, you know, my partner, my spouse? All right, well, again, the short answer, the correct answer is really how you're going to answer this next question. You're not going to like this next question I'm going to give you, all right? This is going to bother you a bit because you know the right answer, but you're not going to like the right answer. All right, and so there's something that couples who have lasted a long time, who have developed a love that lasts, there's something that they know. And it's not intuitive. It's the kind of thing that might make you run for the hills. You might go, gosh, I don't know that I'm interested in a relationship like this right now. All right, or perhaps it's something that you go, okay, this is game changing. I mean, this really will take us to new places. All right, and this certainly didn't originate with me. But here's the question. The best way to keep the hopes, the dreams, and the desires in, you know, from making their way into the hopes, dreams, and desires and expectation box is to answer this question right here. And the question is, what do they owe you? Your partner, your significant other, your spouse, like, what do they owe you? What do they owe you? Because, see, couples who have lasted well beyond the falling in love phase, and they've lasted into the years and years of a love that lasts, they discovered that the answer to this question, what do they owe you? The answer is nothing. Nothing. See, couples that have a love that lasts, they know that they owe each other everything, but they're owed nothing in return. Which doesn't make any sense, right? You're like, well, who would want that? Let me tell you something about these couples that have discovered this. There's something about them that doesn't make any sense. I mean, they go through hard times and things that you think, man, that'd blow up a marriage, and they just come out on the other side. They're still enjoying each other. They aren't amazingly talented. They're not, like, fantastically, you know, wealthy, and yet they just keep going, like, loving life together. Some of them have a lot of kids. Some of them have no kids. They haven't been able to have kids. And yet they've found, they're like a mystery. It's like, this doesn't make sense. You know why? Because they operate with this mindset right here that they owe each other everything, but they are owed nothing in return. And see, they've actually discovered and leveraged this principle that Jesus teaches us. And this is something that, you know, you don't have to be a Christian to leverage this. In fact, I know a lot of people that are not people of faith that have discovered this. I probably don't even know that it's from Jesus, but they've just found that when I live this way, man, it works. And there's a lot of Christians I know that haven't discovered this. I mean, just because we're person of faith or a Christian doesn't mean we just fall into this. Like, this is something we have to cultivate and grow into. And so Jesus, he gives us this one overarching, you know, all-encompassing, transgenerational, transcultural command. And we talk about this all the time here at Crosspoint because it applies to so many situations. Jesus gets all his guys together and says, hey guys, listen, I know there's like something like 630 some, you know, Jewish laws, and I've reduced it all down to two, love God, love others. And now I'm going to reduce it down to one. I'm going to make it real simple. And they're like, all right, we love that, Jesus. What is it? And he says, as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. That's it. As I have loved you, I want you to love one another. And then the Apostle Paul comes around, and he takes it a bit further, and he kind of extrapolates this out, and he puts some handles on it, all right? And he connects it to all these situations, and one of the situations is the marriage context. And he says this. He says, just walk in the way of love, just as Christ, here's the thing Jesus said, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And I'm telling you, when you take this idea right here and you drop it into the center of your relationship, the marriage begins to feel like a submission competition. It feels like a race to the back of the line, to which you go, that sounds miserable, right? That's why so few people actually try it. But see, it's one of the things that actually cultivates a love that lasts. So next week, we're going to pick up right here and talk about that fifth thing. Now, I'm going to give you a couple walkouts before we wrap up. All right, and before I give them to you, if you're here with a fiance or you're a spouse or you're dating someone, you're here together, I'm just gonna encourage you not to talk about this on your way home. All right, I know usually you're like, hey, talk about it. I would encourage you, some of you are like, oh my gosh, can't wait till we get in the car. We're taking the long way home. We're gonna talk about this all the way home. Don't talk about this, and here's why. Here's why. All right, my walkouts today have nothing to do with the other person. All right, they have nothing to do with your partner or your spouse. They have everything to do with you. All right, so this is really, we start with us. And so first of all, first walkout is we have three resources that I wanna just suggest, encourage you to tap into. The first one is for husbands. It's called Husband in Pursuit, 31 Daily Challenges for Loving Your Wife Well. All right, and then the second one's for women, for wives. It's called Wife in Pursuit, 31 Daily Challenges for Loving Your Wife, Your Husband Well. And so this is all about you. This isn't about how do I shape and change them. This is about, okay, how can I begin to take on a different mindset and a different posture and really, truly love well through some very engaging daily practices and challenges. So we encourage you to grab these. If you're single or if you're single again or even if you're married and you've never read this book, there's a book called Love That Lasts, How We Discovered God's Better Way for Love, Dating, Sex, and Marriage. And I tell you, if you've not read this, I think everybody should read this. We've recommended this before, and I still will highly recommend it if you've not had a chance to read it. My kids are reading it, my older kids, because this is so formative for them as they're dating. You can purchase these in the commons. They're available out there, and you can purchase them on Amazon. We don't care. We just want to, if you're interested, we encourage you to consider jumping into these challenges. And then for all of us, two questions that I want to give you as we wrap up. And I want you to think about this for the next time. First one is this, what's in your box? What's in your box? You should know what's in your box. What's in your hopes, dreams, and desires box? And if you're dating someone, you should start figuring that out. If you're engaged, you really should figure that out. And if you're married, perhaps again, if you don't know this, this is part of the problem. All right, so what's in your box? And then the second question, perhaps more important, is this one. Are you expecting someone to carry it around for you? Have you handed it off? Is there something that you've handed off and created unintended pressure for your partner, your spouse, for someone in your life? Are they carrying around your invisible box of hopes, dreams, and desires? And I'm telling you, as you wrestle these questions to the ground, this is gonna give you some handles to get to new places. And perhaps by God's grace, in fact, this is kind of my prayer, by God's grace that maybe some of us, we might just realize, oh my gosh, I've handed a lot of stuff off and I didn't even know it. Hey, that's fine. The cool thing is the discovery of, oh my gosh, this is what I've done. And our prayer is that you recognize that and you begin to go, okay, I need to put all that back in the box. And I actually need to go apologize and just say, okay, how can I leverage myself fully for your benefit? Because man, for a long time, we've been leveraging myself and yourself for mine. I'm telling you, that will take us to new places. So that's where we'll pick up next week. Let's stand. I want to pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for this incredible opportunity to talk about something that's so relevant to our lives. And Jesus, thank you for what you did for us, for modeling this kind of sacrificial love, something so transformative. And then you said, why don't you just go to do others what I've done for you, in spite of what we had done. And so I just pray that you'd help us to do that this week in spite of what others have done to us. And for those of us who maybe aren't into the religion thing, as we maybe implement this in our relationship this week, I pray that we discover maybe even beyond the relationship, a character trait of the kind of love that you have for us. And so I just pray that you'd fill us with hope, with possibility, for those places in our lives and relationships where they're in ruins right now, God, give us the encouragement that we actually can get to stronger and better and restored and redeemed places because we know that's the work that only you can do. Pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.